And welcome back to episode 2.
Dos.
Of the Amplification podcast.
I can't do that in Spanish, I'm sorry.
Amplification. Come on, Caitlin.
Wow, sorry guys. I'm a person of many talents, but that is not one of them. What are you up to, Meg?
These days, not too much. We're going to the Billie Eilish concert tomorrow night.
I'm very excited for that.
That is exciting.
Just literally bought our ticket right now.
Yeah, no.
Not that I haven't been looking.
So last minute, the day before, I can't believe we got them. I wasn't looking. I gave up. I was like, no way, I'm not going to get one.
Well, you should just put it into my hands and I would have found you one. My friend was going to sell me one yesterday, but she was asking $120 for it. I'm like, that's not how much it costs.
Mm.
And I can barely afford it as it is, so I cannot afford.
She was asking $120 for one ticket.
Yeah.
Is she really your friend?
Oh, it's because she lives up north.
Sorry.
And she needed flights and now she can't. So I don't really know. No tea, no shade. But I'm not spending that money on a ticket when they're literally $70.
When you're about to leave for overseas for a month.
Yeah, fun fact, guys. You already know that. Do you? Maybe.
No, because this is the intro.
The intro.
And I'm inserting that clip after this intro.
Okay.
So let's talk about that. Hey guys, so I know we're only episode 2, but Caitlin's already decided to leave us.
Not for too long, only a month.
Only a month. So where are you going, Caitlin?
I'm going traveling around Canada, and then I'm doing some of the United States.
Oh my goodness! I'm
going to, like, you know, the usual: Vancouver, Montreal, New York, Boston.
Just the usual, yeah.
Just the usual. I wish. It's my first international trip, and I'm going by myself. Until I meet my friend in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So that's a bit stressful, fun.
Bit crazy.
Exciting. So yeah, this will be a bit of a backlog. We've got some fat content for you all to supply you while I'm away. A month really isn't that long when you think about it.
Oh, I don't know. It's a 12th of the year.
Oh, now that you put it like that,
I guess. That freaks me out a bit.
Ah.
Because, like, 4 weeks, but it just flies by in 4 weeks because, like... But it's Monday and then you sure close your eyes and then it's fucking Sunday again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's probably going to, like, it's going to be weird because, like, I'll forget when I'm over there that life still goes on back home.
Time flies, dude.
Like, people are still going to work and stuff and I'm, like, living it up.
What's the time difference?
17 hours behind.
Behind.
So when I get to Vancouver at 6 p.m, it'll be 11 a.m. the day after here.
So do you gain time or lose time?
I gain time. I leave Sydney at 5:40 p.m. and I arrive in Vancouver 20 minutes later.
Oh my God.
So technically I've only been flying for 20 minutes when it's been a 16-17 hour flight.
Ew, technically you've only been flying for 20 minutes. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like a Twilight Zone episode.
But when I come back from New York, I lose, like, so much time. Because I think I literally come back 2 days after I leave New York.
Wow.
Like, I leave the 5th, come back the 7th, just because of the time difference.
Oh, my God.
Because it's a straight 22-hour flight.
Ooh.
So that's going to fuck with my head.
That's all right. Will you be able to sleep? Is it a nighttime one?
My flight?
Yeah.
My one from New York to Sydney is, so I'm just going to try and sleep a lot of that. But my Vancouver one, I'm going to try and link myself up to Canadian time, so I sleep when the Canadian people are sleeping.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well to do.
So I'm going to try and do that. Because if I get onto my flight at 5:40, I just need to automatically just start sleeping.
Yeah.
Just sleep for like 8 hours.
Jesus. Yeah, good luck on that.
I don't know. You underestimate me.
I can sleeping pills.
Yeah, I can sleep anywhere at any time, at any fucking time of the day.
Yeah.
So I'm not too stressed about sleeping. Because give me a pavement and I'll sleep on it.
Give me a pavement and I'll sleep on it.
Done it before. We'll do it again. So, yeah, the flight attendants just give me a payment.
Half plane, half people.
Honestly, it's like a centaur.
Who are you flying with?
Qantas.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Qantas.
Did you know? Do you want to hear a little fun fact?
Please, tell me.
Qantas has never lost a plane. They are the safest airline ever because they've never lost a plane.
That's reassuring.
Yeah, they actually did lose one, but they... got it, like, they did this huge rescue mission to get the plane out of the ocean just so they could say we've never lost a plane.
So did all the people die that were in the ocean?
No, it was like a crash landing, but they were fine.
Oh, interesting.
Everyone was fine. No one died, I don't think. But just to say that they'd never lost a plane, they spent all this money to get the plane.
Just for that flex?
Just for that. Yeah, just to say that.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Fair enough, though.
And well, I'm
that makes me feel happy. If they lose me, they'll find me dead or alive.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm excited. So, yeah, this will be a bit of a backlog for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. No one probably cares that I'm not here.
I will. I'll care.
Love that.
I don't know who I'm going to do it with. I'll have to find another co-host. Maybe I'll get my little sissy or my older sister to come and help me
out. Your oldie sissy would be fun.
Oldie sissy. I feel like Charlotte's more in tune with the young hip music.
Maybe. Might be good to get that
done. Lucy likes a fat cry tune. Honestly, she also likes some nostalgia, so she likes the old music that we grew up with. I don't know. Maybe I'll get both of them on. Maybe we can do a trio podcast. We'll see how it is with three hosts.
All the Megs.
Every single one of them. Yeah. My entire extended family. Like,
yeah. And you get your sister, your other sister, your mum and your dad all yeah. the back with the mic in the middle.
It is a 5-seater. We can do it.
Man, look at that. It works out well. Maybe I should go forever. Just let let your family take over.
How cute. It'll become Empress-vacation podcast.
I don't know how to reply to that.
I might need to cut that out.
Alrighty.
All right.
So, have you heard the new Catfish album?
Yes. My family and I listened to it around the fire because we're so white and wholesome.
Wow, you're such an indie fucking family. You live in, like, this little country town. Not country. It's been country built up. Country town.
Yeah, calm down.
You fucking sit by the fire, listen to Triple J.
I know.
You're so fucking white.
And just sing Wonderwall around the campfire.
Your dad, every time there's a party, he just brings out a guitar. Anyone want to hear Wonderwall?
Hey, guys, sit down and listen. No, I should interview Charlotte about it because she's a big fan of Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Oh, well, maybe I should just leave now then.
Yeah, actually, you've actually already been replaced.
Oh, God. Charlotte just appears in the backseat. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey, bitch. Oh, she's at school. We could go pick her up and just...
She's
over,
she's,
like, the fence.
She's being educated right now.
Yeah. Charlotte, come to the front of the school. We're going to ask you some stuff.
Oh, good.
So, what were your thoughts on it?
I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I feel like they're one of the only bands that can put out three albums that are almost exactly the same, yet somehow still get away with it.
Oh,
because it's good, but it's not nothing they've never done before.
I think we talked about it in the last
still good.
podcast about how bands change and, like, whether it's a good thing or not, and how everyone always says, I liked their first albums the best. I feel like Catfish and the Bottlemen, all the albums have the same sound, so you can really say which, like, I really can't tell which one's which.
Oh, yeah. If you gave me three songs from three different albums, I'd be like, oh, yeah, they all sound like the same album.
Oh, yeah, I should do that. No, it's too much to try and cut the songs in.
Yeah, no
so that
thanks.
You guys can hear at the same time we do. No, can't be bothered.
But yeah, I'm not mad at it. It is good.
I've always said they have the same sound.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Like, they just sound the same all the time.
One of my friends, because we live in Brisbane. If you know Brisbane, we don't get any fucking Splendor sideshows. It's literally, they're banned from coming to Brisbane. So my friend, she's going to Splendor, and she's also going to Sydney, Melbourne, and the Perth show for Catfish.
Oh my God, and I'm someone's like, a fan.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, that's like a lot for a band that does the same thing every album.
Oh, God.
I cannot talk.
No, where are you going to see your favourite band, Caitlin? You don't want to say it on the podcast?
No.
I'll cut it out.
I just don't reply.
That's so funny.
Yeah, like, I've definitely travelled many times for a band. Just one band. But, like, Catfish, I just wouldn't do it for.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
They just have all the same hooks, the choruses are the same, they use the same, like,
it's that same black and white sound.
Yes, absolutely. That's a good way to explain it.
It's just black and white.
Yeah, it just feels familiar. Every song, it's like, oh no, I have heard this one before.
Yeah, and it's like, oh wait, no, I haven't, this is new. I don't know, it's all right, I dig it, I fuck with it, but I wouldn't listen to it often.
Yeah.
So that's something that I would whip out when I'm on a 22-hour flight and listen to it, because I'd be bored.
Well, looks like it might be getting whipped out then.
You're right.
Apparently Nick Murphy's new album is really good as well.
Really?
AKA Chet Faker.
Interesting. I haven't heard.
I'm about to get hit by a truck. Oh. It just runs me over.
Guys, this is it. This is the last podcast.
Push me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but apparently, I don't know, Dad said it was really good, and then my older sister Lucy said it was really good as well.
I'll have to give it a listen.
We'll have to listen, yeah.
Before my, like, flight, I'm going to put on, like, new albums I need to listen to. Because I feel like there's no better place to fall in love with an album when you're sitting in the same seat for fucking hours.
Oh, my God. And then you can write me, like, a little paragraph on, like, what you thought.
I will, yes.
And then I can read it out on the podcast. Or you can just send an audio clip.
I'm here in spirit. I'm on the plane. Fucking 2 a.m. So, guys.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, my God. Speaking of new music.
Yeah.
Actually, this should be more in a songs that you hate segment.
Okay, hold on.
So, speaking of songs we fucking hate.
Oh, tell me about
it. Okay, you know how much I love Brendan Urie. Yes. Fuck with Panic so hard.
I know where you're going with this.
The new Taylor Swift song with Brendan Urie.
Oh.
I have no words. Just, I fucking hated it. I did not like the lyrics. I'll give it one star just because it can sometimes be catchy, depending what mood you're in. It's the lyrics are fucking, like, they're so trash.
So cheesy. And just like, oh my God, it feels like I've just gone to Willy Wonka land.
Have you heard that one verse in it? And it literally sounds like a kids' bop song.
I listened to it. Yes, that's what it is. It sounds like a kids' bop
song.
Come
on, kids, spelling is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, are you fucking stupid?
Like, why?
Like, hold on. Let me get this up. Let me get the actual verse up. And let me read it to you. Hey, kids, spelling is fun. Girl, there ain't no I in team. But you know there is a me. Strike the band up, 1, 2, 3. I'll promise that you'll never find another like me. And you can't spell awesome without me. I promise that you'll never find another like me. You
can't spell awesome without me.
Sorry, I didn't realize we're back in fucking 2010.
Oh my God, it just sounds so cheesy and like sugar-coated and just... Have you seen the music video as well?
Okay, I didn't mind the music video. I thought that was kind of fun. It's very like Panic Disco, Pretty Odd era.
It is fun, but it just embodies the song with like everything just being...
Cheesy, disgusting.
Rainbows and unicorns. Like,
it's like, I'm sorry. I've never been a Taylor Swift fan. But why did all her songs make it... She paints herself out as a perfect fucking person. Like, I don't know if it's just me, but I just find her so cocky.
Do you reckon?
Like, you'll... I don't know. I'm just not a fan.
Probably. She always also seems to have a verse about a fight where they're screaming in the rain.
She does. Like,
and there's always some mention of, like, a fight in the rain. And I don't know, T-Swift, like, what... Who hurt you in the rain? But every new song I hear from her, there's always, like, a line about her fighting in the rain.
It's like, honey, you're the only variable that is staying the same. Maybe the problem is you.
Yeah, maybe just go inside sometimes. Like, why does it always have to be outside in the rain?
Yeah, I do not fuck with that song. It's been on the radio, like, 10 times a day now. And when I'm at work, I want to fucking grab the nearest wall peg and stab my eyes out with it.
No, we listen to, like... Triple M sort of stuff at work, so we don't need to get that.
We T-Swift. Listen to Nova, so like I get the fucking everything.
Nova.
And yeah, so that is my rant of the week because I'm angry, and I'm angry that Brendan even said yes to it.
Oh, I thought it was a good
his
move.
It is for him, but it's also just like, I don't know.
Who do you want Brendan Urie to collaborate with?
Someone his own genre.
Who?
Like fucking. Like, this is so cheesy, but, like, Fall Out Boy. Even though they sound the exact same. Would. But, like, they literally toured together and everything. It's, like, just fucking really... No, but, like, I probably wouldn't just because I sound so similar.
Mm.
But I want him to do something with, like... I'd love him to do something with, like, Kendrick Lamar or something.
Oh.
Like, I'd fuck with that so hard. But, like, I just really did not see that coming of Taylor Swift.
Bitchin'.
I don't know. Like, Brendan, you own my heart, but not this time.
Yeah, they're great vocalists.
Oh, yeah. Like, his voice is incredible.
Yeah.
And, like, hers is good, but, like, I just feel like Brendan's voice in that song is the only thing that makes it somewhat tolerable. Other than that, it's a big no for me. 1 out of 5 stars.
Yeah. I've heard not good things about it as well. That's who Brendan you should collaborate with. You, darling.
Me.
You.
Honestly, Brendan, be better than
you're
me.
You're a star!
And, yeah. It was just a lot. And I know they performed it at the Billboard Music Awards yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
Have not seen that video. Do not plan on it.
Ooh.
Maybe I'll see just how it translates live. Maybe it might be better. I just want to see if Taylor can keep a straight face by saying, come on, kids, spelling is fun. Like, what are they going to do? Look at the audience full of fucking actual musicians and be like, come on, kids, spelling is fun.
I wonder who wrote the song.
Brendan and Taylor.
Did they write it?
They both wrote it, apparently. I looked into it because I'm like, surely Brendan didn't write this.
Yeah, Jesus.
But he must have written it from, like, obviously, for her, because he would not do anything like that on his stuff.
Just feels like they just figured out what rhyming was and they just decided.
Yeah, and they looked up 2010 Tumblr quotes. You can't spell awesome without me. Wow!
Oh my god, yeah.
Round of applause! fifth grade me would be fucking crying at this. I'd be like, oh my god, they just get me.
You really can't spell awesome without me.
I'd put on Snapchat a blank screen and be like, don't talk to me. You can't spell awesome without me. Yes. I would just be that angsty bitch using Taylor Swift as a fucking emo.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
The embodiment of, like, pop. Like, 2010 pop.
Oh, for sure. Fucking hated it.
Hurts to listen to.
Like, when I heard that they were collaborating, I'm like, interesting. It'd be interesting if Taylor went more into their hurt, like, panics genre. Because I'm like, maybe she'll do well. But no! I wasn't expecting it the other way around. No. And I'm big mad.
Oh my god, and the music video still started with, like, a snake.
Oh,
so she's still on that brand.
She's still on that brand. It's like, honey, get a fucking new one.
She just isn't over it yet.
She is still crying over Harry Styles from, like, 2014.
Yeah, and the whole Kanye thing.
Like, fucking hell, calm down, bitch. Mm. I just feel like she's so arrogant. Like, I don't know. I'm just really not a fan of her.
I didn't want to hate her, but then I watched one of her behind-the-scenes videos, and I was like, oh my god, she literally is a 12-year-old.
Oh, for sure.
She really is that person.
Like, I liked her album 1989.
Mm.
That was a decent album. I don't fuck with her music, but, like, I could kind of jam out to that. I was like, not mad.
Oh, I fuck with Fearless any day.
I don't fuck with Fearless.
Oh, yeah, bitch. We are dancing in the rain. All right. No.
So I saw some blonde on Friday.
Friday? I did not go. Why didn't I go?
I think you were busy. You usually are.
No tea, no shame.
No tea. Yeah, but she was really good. I went to the Eaton's Hill Hotel, saw her playing her DJ set.
The old stomping grounds.
With Reagan. She's got a new song out with Reagan from The Voice.
Oh, nice.
And that's really good, so I got to see that. They played that one. Yeah, it was really fun. She had so much, like, they had so much energy and, like, had a really good dynamic together on stage.
Fuck yeah. That's so what we want to hear.
Yeah.
It's always a good time. I love duos like that.
Everyone enjoyed it.
Glad
to hear. So I think I'll insert this interview.
Yeah, she was so much fun.
She was so much fun, the interview. One of my favourite interviews of all time, I think. So this is it. Bye. Hello.
Hey, Meg, it's Alicia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Are you ready for your
interview? Yeah, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome. All right, we'll get going then. Okay. So first of all, congratulations on your new single.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what was it like working with Regan?
It was so easy working with her. She is so incredibly talented, as you can hear in the record. And, yeah, from the very first moment I met her, we just had such an instant awesome connection. We're both very similar. And so this record was very, very easy to work with her. The story behind it, we both resonated. And she produced the most insane lyrics for this song and really brought it to life. So it was just a walk in the park. She was amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Was it difficult in any way, since you two obviously have such different musical styles?
No, it wasn't actually. It was really, really easy. I think the only difficulty I ever had was that I actually made this record 6 years ago. I came up with it, and it's obviously changed massively over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
But I finally got to a point where I was happy with it, and it was really where I was in my career. The right sound, everything. And so when I showed it to her, she was just like, this is something I want to sing on. And it just straight away worked. It was really quite simple. As soon as she was involved, it was simple. But, yeah, before that, it took some time to get it right.
Yeah, wow. So what was the process behind making the song? Like you said, you made it 6 years ago. How did you come up with it? You know?
Yeah, So I was with a friend and he was playing guitar and I just started humming the melody. And he was like, keep humming that. And he quickly grabbed his accord and plugged it into Ableton and recorded the melody. And he said, go home and make a song out of that. I'm like, done. And yeah, here it is 6 years later. Definitely, you know, if you could hear where it was 6 years ago, you'd probably have a bit of a giggle to yourself. I probably have a giggle to myself as well. But yeah, it's I think as you grow up, your skills get better with producing and you become more, you know, sure of where you want to be musically and what you want to put out into the world. And yeah, here we are.
Yeah, wow. 6 years in the making.
6 years in the making. So today everyone's like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited your record's out. I'm like, I'm really excited. Like, it's been 6 years, you know. So it's funny, the song's called Set You Free and this song is literally setting me free for the last 6 years. So it's very special.
Yeah. What a little full circle moment.
Big time. The universe is a crazy, beautiful thing. And yeah, I think it's all happened at the right time. Feels good.
Yeah. So how did you end up collaborating with Regan? Who reached out to who?
Yes. Yeah. So I was chatting with Redfoo and he happened to be coaching Regan at the time on X Factor.
Yeah.
And we were both playing a show and he messaged me and said, oh, I'm coming over to your stage with Regan. We're going to come sing on stage with you. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And we all just worked so well together on stage, completely on the fly. And Regan and I were both in a taxi going back to the airport together and we're on the same flight. And I said, oh, Regan, I'd love to show you a song I'm working on. And it was Set You Free. And she instantly heard it and loved it and said, I want to sing on this. And I said, oh, well, that's funny because I really want you to sing on it too. And yeah, here we are.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
So who do you hope to collaborate with next?
Well, I've already got a really amazing Australian artist on board for the next one. It's all a bit top secret at the moment, but all I can say is it's a household name. I would assume that most Australians know this artist and, like, highly respect them.
Ooh.
I highly respect them, yeah. And a bit of a curveball, you'll probably be like, wow, I didn't see that one coming, but I think we really make it work. And my goal for this record was to gel the two worlds together, a bit of a bridge between their world and my world. And I think we've done a cool job, feel good about it, and, yeah, can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Wow. Wow, you got me all excited now.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so how did you make your start in the music world?
So 10 years ago, I began DJing. I was working in the bar and I was also working for Future Entertainment. I was the site manager's assistant and I was just constantly meeting DJs and I just thought to myself, you know, rather than working for the festivals and working behind the bar, I want to be the DJ. So
yeah.
I bought my own pair of DJ decks, brand new, and no idea how to use them or how to plug them in, but after a few hours reading the manual, I figured it out. 6 months later of practice in the bedroom, I figured out how to DJ.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and then
self-taught.
I had all the contacts from working in the bar and Future. I just told everyone, hey, I'm a DJ now, and everyone was like, hey, we want to give you a go, and gave me a gig.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first cool. gig that you played?
First gig I played, I do remember. It was the Greyhound Hotel or something in St Kilda.
Mm.
It was a Sunday session and I was so nervous. I was like at a friend's house beforehand practicing and I was train wrecking my whole set and my friends were all looking like, oh my gosh, she is not ready. You should not be playing this gig. And I was like bright red, just looking at them like, what have I done? Why have I done this? And I think I just sort of dropped the expectations on myself. I was like, well, I'm really going to stuff this gig up, you know. I'm just going to have to learn my lesson to practice more. And so I went into my gig with I'm going to fail. And then all of a sudden, the pressure was off me. And I didn't train work my set. I pulled through. And there was only, you know, 15, 20 people there. And all my friends were like, yeah, don't pull me.
Oh, that's so good.
It definitely set me up with my confidence for the next 10 years, you know. I was like, okay, wasn't a complete fail start, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, so you've obviously been doing this, like, a very long time then. You just said 10 years.
Yes, yep, 10 years, yep.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So what do you do? Because obviously DJs, when you watch them, they're always, like, so happy and, like, full of energy, I guess. What do you do on those low-energy nights?
Yeah, look, I'm lucky when I'm on stage, I get, like, the white line fever. The second I enter the DJ booth, something comes over me and I'm just pumped. But I would say you have to be really on top of your mental health. I think travelling, being on a plane, in a hotel room by yourself, can definitely feel very isolating. So for me, to be in this game for 10 years, it's been so important to eat well, exercise, yoga, not having late nights. Just looking after your body, mind, everything definitely has, you know, served a purpose with being able to stay in the game for 10 years, I guess.
Yeah. So do you drink or anything while you're performing?
Not really. Like, some gigs I do. It depends. If I'm playing somewhere where all my friends are going to be,
yeah,
I'll be like, okay, it's going down tonight, you know. And I'll have the rider going, all my friends drinking. I'll only have, like, a few drinks before because I really like to focus on my set. I don't like to be too drunk because I'll probably... I always found when I was younger, if I drank too much, I was just too excited and I started talking to people and waving at everyone and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's 15 seconds left. So I think I definitely play better sober.
Yeah.
So okay. I'll sort of celebrate after, but that's it.
Yeah. What's the craziest story you've got from working as a DJ?
Oh, I've got a few crazy stories. What context are we looking for?
God.
Scary, funny. Or gross?
Let's go all.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I have a kind of a scary gross one. I was playing a regional gig in Victoria and it was not a very busy night. So when I had played there, it was a Saturday night, busy. I went there thinking this will be a really good gig. And then I got there and there was only 10 people. This was like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
There was only like 10 people in there. And there was this strange guy, strange girl in the middle of the dance floor dancing. And all of a sudden, the guy just lifted the girl's T-shirt up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and her chest was on show. And oh, God. And then, yeah, she just took it and let him have a look. And that was it. And I was like, oh, my God, I've seen it all now. That was absolutely weird and frightening and uncomfortable.
Oh, so, my God.
Yeah, that was a weird one. but okay, now let's think of nice, funny, happy ones. you know what? I went through this phase of crowd surfing. I just wanted to crowd surf every gig. It's kind of like, you know, when you find something you can do, you just want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like a new talent. Yeah. And I'm like, I can crowd surf, so I'm just going to do it every gig. And, you know, now it's one I only pull out at special moments. And this one particular gig, there was probably only 20 people right up the front that could really carry me. Everyone was kind of just dancing or drinking, talking, not really, you know, engaged. But I thought, that's okay. I'm going to crowd surf. So I told everyone I'm going to crowd surf.
Yeah.
And I had platform heels on and I jumped into the crowd and they've all held me up and then all of a sudden they've all kind of, their arms fell forward and I've gone from like a bug in the air with my hands and feet up in the air and just fell 3 metres to the ground.
Oh my God.
And landed in my platforms. And I landed it. Like I didn't fall over. It was insane.
You stuck the landing.
I survived the landing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like they were high. I was just like I everyone looked at me and you could hear the whole crowd go, oh, like, oh no. You know? And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, sweet. Oh my god.
What
yeah,
a good
that was
move.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a funny one.
That's so good.
Yeah.
All right. What's the best show that you've ever played?
Best show?
Yeah. I'm sure you've got a lot to sift through.
Oh, I've got so many. Yeah. Well, I have to say, in Australia, some of the best festivals, I think, I mean, they definitely, the festival scene definitely struggled for a few years there when a lot of the big festival companies got kicked out and it was like just the smaller boutique ones. But Good Life Festival, the underage one, they were going quite strong.
Yeah.
When the rest of the scene was struggling. And those festivals were insane. I was playing to 5,000 people and it was just every, you know, with adults, you have to really convince them to put their hands up and have a good time. But
yeah.
With kids, you just say, put your hands up. And they're like, oh, my gosh. So it was, like, really high energy. That was a really cool show. But overseas, I would have to say, is just insane because it's a completely different crowd to what I'm used to. I've played a couple of tours in Canada.
Yeah.
And actually Quebec, like the French part, Montreal and all up the coast there, it was amazing. They go off. They're just so excited.
Yeah.
To have you there, and it was, yeah, really high energy, amazing.
That's so sick.
Yeah, it was cool.
How many countries have you played in?
So, I've played Canada, I've played in Ireland, Scotland, played a couple of shows in around London, and I played New Zealand, I've played Indonesia. Yes, I've done a few.
Yeah, you
but
have.
I'm hoping that this year we can start doing some more tours overseas again with the records coming out, you know, start touring my music a lot more.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah. So when I was doing my research, I came across your YouTube channel. So why did you decide to go YouTube route and why did you stop posting?
Yeah, YouTube. So much fun at the time. I don't do it anymore, but I've been in this game for 10 years and it's been a beautiful industry, but definitely a testing industry at the same time.
Mm.
And, you know, I think in every industry there's a lot of politics and drama and stuff, and I was definitely having my fair share of moments of politics and problems within the industry when I'm getting into it. But, I was just sort of not feeling very passionate about music and DJing because of all the stuff. So I thought, how can I still be creative and create something that I'm excited about? And someone suggested to me do a YouTube channel. You know, it's sort of good therapy at the same time, but you can create it and it's something new to you.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, so I can't remember how many I made, but it got me excited again to create, and yeah, I had a really good time with it. And then at a certain point, I was like, okay, I'm done with that. Like, I've had fun, I got what I needed, and I'm ready to really go for music again.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. So why did you stop posting?
Because music, you know, I guess I'm just writing so much music, it just takes up so much time.
Yeah.
And I've also taken up surfing and all these other cool lifestyle things, and I just sort of don't have as much time now to make videos. But I hope that, you know, if it's a successful year with my records and I start touring, then maybe I could put, you know, someone on to make YouTube videos for me and with me. Like all the big YouTubers, you know?
Yeah.
Just pay someone to do it for you.
Yeah. Or you can make a tour video or something like that.
Hey?
You can make a tour video or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what a few people said. They're like, why don't you just go back to YouTube videos but more about DJing and touring? And I think you're spot on. I'm going to get back into that. It'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was, like, watching it and then I just fell down this hole of just watching all your videos and everything. They were really cute.
Oh, thank you.
I was enjoying it.
Like, that's awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
No worries. So what's the best concert you've ever been to?
Eminem,
Eminem, really?
I think I've been, yeah, Have you been?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I was going to go to his latest one.
Oh, I missed his latest one, which was sad. But, yeah. I went to the last two before that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Eminem was my guy in, like, oh, my gosh, primary school, high school. I was obsessed with him. And, yeah, I had, like, all of his posters in my room, had little Eminem scrapbook, all that sort of stuff, all his articles. So it was actually really funny. I was obsessed with him. And yeah, and so seeing him in the real life was pretty incredible. And
yeah.
Also, I just love amazing performance. You know, yeah. People are a little bit out there and they're just out of the normal. And also Slipknot, I've seen them a couple of times.
Oh.
Like, yeah, a heavy metal band.
Yeah.
They're just insane. I highly recommend anyone just watching, like, a YouTube video of them live because, oh, it's just the things they come up with and how entertaining they are and how weird they are. So I think it's great. Love it.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a good picks.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. What songs and artists are you sort of loving at the moment?
I love Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
I loved her forever. I also love D'Antwood. I'm obsessed with Yolandi. I think she's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, DJ-wise, I think Alice in Wonderland is incredible. She's another Australian
of
legend.
Of course, yeah.
Female. She's so awesome. Really, doing the Aussie girls proud and just doing Australia proud in general. Like, you know, everyone sort of refers to her as an amazing female artist, but I think she's just an amazing artist as is, you know.
100%.
Yeah, I think she's great. And a lot of the – I also love Peking Duck. They're Australian dudes.
Yeah.
They're great. And, yeah, pretty much any DJ producer who is a little out, you know, out of the normal, I really like – admire those kind of DJs. So, you know, all the DJs like in the trap scene I think are pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's DJs like Green Velvet in the techno scene who I absolutely adore. So I'm a bit of a mixed bunch. I like a bit of everything. Just, yeah, depends on the artist is what sort of captivates me, I guess.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to finish up with a little game, if that's all right.
Cool.
Yeah, so as a DJ, I'm guessing you have to be pretty good at reading the room. So I'm going to give you a couple scenarios and you've got to toss me a song that you would play.
Okay.
All right, so number one, you're playing a wedding. It's the after party and the bride has run off crying. The vibe is super awkward. What do you play to get the party started?
Oh, my gosh. What's her song? Baby, bye, 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 bye.
Oh, my God.
Well, just own it. There she goes.
Oh, I love that answer.
I love cheeky wedding DJ.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
All right, number two. You're playing a club, but everyone there is over 70 years old. What do you play to get the oldies bumping?
I don't even know why this just came to my head. It just shows how funny my brain is. You know that song... Is it Frank Sinatra? When the picture had like a big pizza but
oh, that song. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I feel like that's a timeless song. And because they're quite old, like, surely they'd know that. We know that.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, who doesn't love pizza?
Exactly. I love where your head's at.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Last one. You're playing to a bunch of drunk adults. Probably nothing new for you. What's your one ride or die song to get a drunk crowd singing and dancing?
Oh, Mr. Brightside, The Killers.
Oh, my God, that's mine.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, mate. So you're the drunk adult.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the criteria.
Yeah, that's my party song. I'll be there.
Mate, I'm the same. I play that, like, so often, and I swear to God, I'm not sick of it. Like, I'll sing every lyric out. Like, I belt it out.
Oh, so like, good.
Oh, that song's insane.
Yeah.
It's, like, timeless.
Are you doing any more Australian tours anytime soon?
Yeah, so we're going to finish up the Set You Free tour.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to go into a bunch of shows. And then I think we're going to, you know, get the next tour going for the next record. So we're sort of, we're working hard to get the next one up and running soon.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully that'll be the next one.
Yeah, well, next time you play Brisbane, I'll be front row.
Oh, will you? You're a Brisbane girl.
Yeah, Brisbane.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on my tour flyer.
Yeah.
Oh, you come up to the front of the DJ booth and be like, it's me.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, okay. And then we can have a drink together.
And then you can put on Mr. Brightside.
And then we can put on Mr. Brightside.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome. Well, that's all my questions. Thank you so much. You've actually been like one of my favourite interviews ever.
Thank you. That means a lot to you, Meg. Thank you. And you've made it so easy. And I love all the awesome questions you've asked. It makes it different and entertaining. So it's great.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Meg. Thanks. You too. And I'll see you at a Brisbane show.
Hell yes.
Yes.
Good luck on your tour. Right.
See you, Meg.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to episode 2 of the podcast. Hopefully there was a lot of fun content in that one for you.
Whoa, that's a lot of aggression. Fun content.
Great content.
Great content, guys. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you had a bit of a giggle.
Tuned in, you turned up, you had some fun.
Bit of a smile, bit of a chuckle, you know? That's all we're wanting, guys.
Anyway, we'll see you next time.
Woohoo!
Follow our social medias. What are they called again?
At Amplification.
Our Instagram, Amplification with an N. After
AMN.
AMN for Australian Music Network.
Or Australian Monkey Nests.
Or a mild nausea.
Or a monstrous nuclear.
A monstrous nuclear.
A monstrous nuclear. That's it, guys.
A muddy nucleus.
Ew.
Guys. All right, see you next time.
Wait, moldy Nutella.
Oh.